He's opened the chanting book, Gata book, and second seats from the back. Okay. bowl cleaning. And also after meals, we chant. we chant the verse of bowl cleaning after eating. So that chanting is the water with which I wash these bowls tastes like ambrosia. I offer it to the various spirits to satisfy them. Om Akura Sai Svaha. After eating in the Zen monastery, clean the bowl which we have used with a special stick. They cross the bottom of the stick and clean all food left. Clean the bowl with that stick, and then get to the water from the server, and then clean the bowls. thereafter, washing the bowl clean, we offer that water to all beings, like a fish, birds, plants, trees. Anyway, we offer this water with which we have washed the bowl. So, I think the Dogen Zenji mentions a grain of rice is precious, as Mount Smeru. Mount Smeru is legendary, huge mountain, which is located in the center of the universe, according to Indian outlook on the world. The very ancient outlook on the world, there is huge mountain named Smeru. Then on these mountains, many deities and many bodhisattvas live, and also many kind of beings exist bottom of the hill. Human beings, animal beings, and also oceans, rivers, trees, many beings exist. So, that mountain is really symbol of pleasure for the universe. So around these mountains, whole universe arises from that mountain. Without that mountain, other beings cannot exist. So that Mount Meru is real precious. Okay? So even the grain of rice is really precious, like Mount Meru. the spirit of this ceremony is that we try not to neglect even some, what to say, some remains of food sticking to the bowl after cleaning it with a special stick. But to share them with various beings, fish, birds, trees, visible, invisible beings. Is that clear? The spirit of this ceremony is first, the food given to you should be received perfectly, completely. You should receive all. Second, you should eat all, without leaving any food. So you should eat. But you cannot eat completely because even though you eat, there is such remains sticking to the bowl all over. That's why after eating, we have to clean it with a special stick. But still left, something left. So we have to share it. Share it with all sentient beings. The food what you have given should be received completely with appreciation. Second, eat it all. But actually you cannot eat all. Still there is something left in the bowl. So that's why we have to eat all with all sentient beings. So if there is some left, we should clean it and then share it with all sentient beings. So that is a ceremony of washing the bowl. Okay. Is that clear? I think this is not the ceremony which occurred in the poor circumstances like Eastern Asia. Eastern Asia, economically, people have lived poorly, very poor, in comparison with the Western people. Very poor situation. But I think this is not the practice or not the ceremony for the poor people, but also the people in our days, whatever situation you live, poor or not poor, you should be very tentative to the food which you have given and receive it with appreciations and eat it all what you have given anyway, without wasting it. Okay. So, this is the spirit of the ceremony which we do in the monastery. So, regardless of whether you are rich, whether we have plenty of natural source or plenty of food or not, we have to be attentive and compassionate to the food which you have given. So this is the spirit of the ceremony. That's why I was really moved by monastery when I visited before Second World War. And then after Second World War, I visited the same place. But our situation is completely same, no change, atmosphere. But as in the present atmosphere of the Japan after Second World War, people were very confused. Situation, not much food, not much clothes. So not rich mind, very poor quality spirituality. So lots of confusion there. But in the monastery, I was very moved because it was not changed. Since, you know, before Second World War, the same situation has been going. That's very interesting. I was very impressed this one. So, I think the because if you practice sati in this building, doing zazen, even though you don't understand the meaning of zazen, and every moment you create peaceful circumstances, peaceful life. Everyone, more or less, as long as you sit down, immediately you create peaceful world. For many years, year and year, if you practice, many people practice this in the same way, in whatever situation we may be. I think people are very impressed by their circumstances. When he or she are present, is present in this room, immediately he or she is moved very much. So that practice is very important. So even though you don't understand this ceremony, I think we should accept the spirit of the ceremony. Okay? So originally, it says the water with which I wash these balls tastes like ambrosia. I offer it to the various spirits to satisfy them all. Om Makula Sai Svaha means on Mahurase, Mahurase Svaha. I think in the ancient time, in India, I think monks throw away the water with which they have washed, okay, outside, but they don't have particular ceremony. But it's the Sutra Vinaya mentioning about the don't throw away inside of the room or cabin or hut. But you should, it says, just throw it away outside of the monastery. And also Vinaya mentions about a certain story. A Brahman saw the Buddha and asked the remedy of his son. His son was sick. Then Buddha suggested him to go to the monastery to get the water with which saint monks have washed, their bowl. Then with that water, you should clean your son's body, and then sickness is recovered. But the Brahman didn't know what kind of water it was, so he went to the monastery. And then he talked about the Buddha's statement, the message to the monks, and then the monks said to him, please wait for a certain period of time because we have to have water from the meal time. So he waited, and then finally he got to the water. And then when he looked at the water, I think that water was not
clean and pure. So he was really mad at the monks. It's ridiculous to clean my son's body with that dirty waters. How can the recover my son's sickness with such a dirty water? And then he left. Since then, Buddha decided to have a ceremony to throw that water with a chanting something particular. This is Dharani, Om Maharase Svaha. It's Om Maharase Svaha. Repeatedly, before you throw the water away, you have to chant this Dharani short verse, Om Maharase, Maharase Svaha. Om Maharase Svaha, Om Maharase Svaha, and then throw it away. This is very important. You know, spiritually, you can create quite a different world than before. What you didn't chant any verse, you know. In other words, you just throw away without certain religious, spiritual heart or magnanimous heart or compassionate heart. I think it is just the usual human actions. You throw it away. But if you throw away with religious and spiritual open and magnanimous, compassionate heart, I think that human action is very profound and magnanimous. So by this magnanimous, compassionate mind, you can give life to anyway your object, your life. Life of food, life of subjectivities. So that's why chanting before you throw it away, Buddha decided to chant this particular Dharani, Om Maharase Svaha. Om means Om, means you know pretty well. Om means that originally it indicates consent, assent, or compliance, as a yes. According to Hinduism, the sound of Om consists of three vowels, A, U, M. A implies origination. A implies origination of being, origination of life. U means maintenance of life, maintenance of life. M implies extinction of life. So Om is holy word, holy spiritual word consisting of three vowels, A, U, M. When you are born, the symbol of birth is A, baby's crying, first cry of babies. Baby's birth. That is Ah. maintenance life, means life must be settled in the depths of your heart. In other words, you have to understand life or anything. You have to understand anything deeply, very deeply, and settled in the bottom of your heart. Physically and mentally, okay. I think even a manner of eating. I think the customarily you can learn, you have to learn the manner of eating, table manner. But on the other end, you have to understand deeply what the meaning of the table manners in West, in East, wherever you may be. From where it comes, what the spirit of the manner is. And then the manner can be accepted by you, the depths of your heart. At that time, you say not yes. Means just no word. Yes is still human word, but something more than human word, is exactly something settled deeply in the bottom of your heart. At that time, anything you can see, hear, or experience is digested by your life. Okay? At that time, you can accept deeply with not human word, yes, but with special word, wu. Okay? Wu means exactly. You know, not in your head. Exactly you accept. No explanations, nothing to say, but you understand it very much deeply. You cannot explain it, you cannot understand it, but anyway, you can accept it deeply, and then you can do it. That is maintenance of life. Okay. According to my word, that is digestions. Deeply, profoundly, digestion of your life, food, anything of your life, other's life, human world. Okay? And is the extinction of life. When you die, at the moment of death, you cannot say anything. Just This is exactly. Just a sound at a moment. So when you go to the Japan and see the shrine, you would see the Ryan statue of Ryan, sitting in front of the gate of the shrine. Have you ever seen the Ryan? Stone statue of lion, okay. And the one lion there with a complete open mouth. That is a symbol of birth. Okay. The other one is the lion with perfectly closed mouth. That is a symbol of death. So, but lions anyway watch people who is going to the shrine, taking care of human being, because life and death is exactly going beyond your human speculations. So to go to the shrine is what? To learn life and death deeply. So that's why in front of the shrine gate, there are two lions sitting and watching the people. One is life, symbol of life, the other one is symbol of death. So that is the meaning of Om. Okay, Om. Yoga practice, in the yoga practice, we always chant the Om. You bathe deeply, spiritually, to create peace. Okay. Om Mahurase means big stomach. Big stomach, you know, hungry ghost. Maybe some of you see the picture of Buddhist picture of paradise and hell's pictures. And in the hell, there are many beings exist, hungry ghost, fighting spirit, and animals, spirit, and. Human beings, many beings exist, and a hungry ghost is always huge stomach, but empty. And also because he cannot eat any food. Food is here, always there, but he couldn't eat because food turned into the fire. So he cannot eat food. This is hungry spirit, hungry ghost, we say. So that is really hungry, greedy. In other words, greedy. Greedy spirit of human beings. It's really greedy. You should reflect upon yourself how greedy we are, wherever you may be. In the physics, in the psychology, in the realm of biology, and in the realm of spiritual life, what you should experience perfect peace, being free from greed. But we create the greed always. So even though you practice spiritual life, you creating a greed constantly. So whatever you may be, you can see how greedy we are. That is a cause of human trouble. Okay? So that is a mahurase, we say. Mahurase, big stomach. Svaha means perfection or completion or increased profit. Increased profit, benefit. So that is a svaha. So it may on mahurase svaha means may this water satisfy all big stomach. In other words, the all hungry spirit. You know, satisfy their big stomach of all hungry spirit. Okay, do you understand? In the sutra, the sutra of ambrosia, it says a drop of water of chrysanthemum. Is scattered all over the sky with the chanting. In other words, one drop of water from a chrysanthemum. And it is scattered all over the sky with the chanting. Okay? Can you imagine? Okay? Pick a person with chrysanthemum with a drop of water. Then scatters with the chanting of sutra, okay? Prajnaparamita, whatever. Okay? And then that drop of water turns into 10 gallons of ambrosia. Okay? One drop of water, that drop of water turns into 10 gallons of ambrosia. All hungry spirits are able to drink it. So all hungry ghosts means all sentient beings, invisible, invisible. Okay. Some beings depend on the leaf of the grass, just like a firefly. Or just the mosquitoes, and visibly, invisibly, many beings exist. So all hungry ghosts are able to drink that ambrosia. Which originate from the one drop of water of chrysanthemum. And it satisfies them comfortably. So, our sutta says, a drop of water of chrysanthemum is scattered all over the sky with the chanting. That drop of water turns into 10 gallons of ambrosia. All hungry spirits are able to drink it. It satisfies them comfortably. So, this is the spirit of offering the water with which we have washed the bowl. Okay? Even one drop of water turns into, anyway, 10 gallons of water. We pray that this one drop of water may be given to all sentient beings. Okay, this is our, and then after the last one, we say, last one after meals, we say goodbye. In Japanese, goodbye means afterward, we'll just say praise. Afterward, praise, literally. or sometimes we say bom bai. Bom is Brahma. Bai means praise, a word of praise. So bom bai means Brahma praise. This is the last chanting at meal time. So we say, in this world of emptiness, may we exist in muddy water with purity like a lotus. Nothing surpasses the boundless mind, thus we bow to Buddha. I think originally, let me translate in a little bit a different way, but it's not like English, but please understand the meaning, okay? Being in the world is like a vastness of open space. We say koku, akasha in Sanskrit. Later I will explain it. Being in the world is like a vastness of open space, like a lotus without being stained by muddy water. The heart, heart surpasses any other being's impurity. Heart surpasses any other being's impurity. We bow to the unsurpassed, honored one. Being in the world is like a vastness of open space, like a lotus without being stained by muddy water. Heart surpasses any other being's impurity. We bow to unsurpassed Anand One. Well, the being in the world means being present in this world, live in this world. If you want to live in this world, what attitude you should be? What attitude is important for us? Because world is not pure, but not dirty, because there are lots of things purity, pure, or clean. But exactly, the world is not exactly clean because it has a lot of dirtiness. So it's very difficult to live in peace and harmony in the world. So what kind of attitude is important? So first, it says, being in the world is like the vastness of open space. This is called Akasha in Sanskrit. It is, the sutra says, characteristic by no hindrance, in which all beings form, rupas, all forms, the all form of beings, trees, birds, all sentient beings, anyway, in which all beings all forms of beings are able to take their own form and work. In other words, they can work, they can function well, smoothly, without any hindrances. So, Akasha, vast and open space, is Akasha, called Akasha, which is characteristic by no hindrances, in which all sentient beings can live smoothly, peacefully. This is Akasha, we say. Space, it's very difficult to say in English. Not space, not sky. So literally, sky or space in vain, in void. Space or sky in void. But that means huge, vast, open space. Not in flat dimensions, plane dimensions. In cubic dimensions, in 10 dimensions, okay? In the many dimensions of 10 directions. This is Akasha, we say, cuckoo. So I said, like a vast of openness. If you want to live in this world, your mind, your heart must be the vast and open, like a huge sky and space. Otherwise, it's very difficult to live. So first of all, this is a practice for spiritual, first stage of our practice, spiritual practice. Always return to the open space, open and vast and open space constantly from day to day in every area of human life. This is very important. Otherwise, it's very difficult to deal with, very difficult to see or to hear your life and others' life. You know, I walked in the, around the lake. The other day I walked this lake and also Lake of Isles all around. The Sunday, many people walked. The many people passed by me. You know that you are surprised to listen to their talking. With what kind of topic they are talking about? Do you understand? Always criticizing. They are always speaking ill of others. But the two women, two boys, two young men, and three boys, three girls, so whoever they are, always criticizing something and grumbling and complaining. How can I live with those ignorant people, greedy person, and very critical, judgmental person? How can we? So immediately I realized I immediately critical to them. So I already is stuck in their life. So I realized, this is now my way. I have to return to the open space. So I return. How? I chant the name of Buddha. That's pretty good. I thought, yes, this is my practice of returning to vast and open space. Well, this is very good because immediately we are pretty easy to join whatever, consciously or unconsciously, because we have habitual pattern of criticism, judgment, and thinking of others, and they not well. Always, this is habitual. So that's why it is very difficult to live. That's why he says, being in the world is like a vast of open space. Anyway, okay. Now what is it? It is just like a lotus, like a lotus without being contaminated or being stained by muddy water. So if you listen to somebody's criticism, judgment, and speaking ill of others, and you must be the lotus flowers, you know, blooming in the muddy water without being stained by muddy water. Do you understand? This is a practice, but this practice is very simple, but you don't see immediate benefit. But this practice is very important for us spiritually, because spiritually you create huge peaceful world where all sentient beings can be present with you in peace, in harmony, simultaneously. Because I realize I saw myself walking in the same pace as them. Who are always criticizing and speaking ill of others, always. But they and I walking in peace and harmony. I can listen, but I was not participating in. So this is very important. First of all, you must be open, magnanimous. Okay? So being in the world is to be present in the world with magnanimous mind. Okay? It is just like a lotus without being stained by muddy water. It's not particular practice escaping from that muddy water. So you must be in muddy water, but you are not stained by it. heart, you completely open. Okay? Otherwise, you are pretty easily to be stained or contaminated. The next, the heart surpasses any other being's impurity. So, purity of heart is heart is mind and heart is completely original nature of being. Which lotus flower? So, purity of heart surpasses any other being means beauty of more something more than it is. Purity of heart is superior to anyway the lotus flower blooming without being stained by muddy water or living with open or vast heart magnanimous mind, because purity of heart is very original heart where you can accept all beings very smoothly. Okay. So that's why the heart surpasses any other things, any other beings in purity. Okay. So from that purity of heart, anyway, you can live with vastness of open heart, open space, and you can live with like a lotus. Okay. How? Your mind, your life must be pure and clean. This is completely openness. Okay. That openness is not idea of openness. You have to return to the openness in practice. Okay. In practice, your action, in actions. Okay. This is our practice. So we bow to unsurpassed the honored one. Okay. Let me say simply the spirit of this verse. That means being in the world, heart is vast as open space with no hindrance, pure as a lotus without being stained by muddy water. The Buddha surpasses any other beings in magnanimity and cleanness. So purity of heart is Buddha. Okay, it's Buddha. Openness is function of the universe, which is called Buddha. Openness is Akasha. Akasha is a practice of openness in action. This is Akasha. Then you can give life to all sentient beings within your life, in the realm of your own life, peacefully, smoothly. So the Buddha, this is a Buddha, the Buddha surpasses any other beings in magnanimity and cleanness. It's really something more than your speculations. It's really magnanimous and clean. We heartily bow to the Buddha together. That's why we from the bottom of our heart, bow, respect, and bow to this Buddha. So that is the spirit of this verse. Heart is the being in the world. Heart is vast as open space with no hindrances. pure as a lotus without being stained by muddy water. The Buddha surpasses any other beings in magnanimity and cleanness. We heartily bow to the Buddha together. All the Buddha in this world who are free from the three poisonous desires is like the vast and open space with no hindrance and like a lotus being free from muddy water. Those whose heart is pure and clean are superior in beauty to the lotus being free from the world dusts. We deeply, therefore, take refuge in the unsurpassed Honored One, who shows us the way of purity, and bow to Him. We cannot help being grateful for His compassion with our blissful mind of being with the Buddha at the meal time. So this is an expression of gratitude to the Buddhas when you have a meal. So last line says, we heartily bow to the Buddha together. In other words, Buddha, how magnanimous and clean the Buddha is. This is the original nature of universe, whatever you say, universal mind, or Akasha, you say. Akasha, open vast open space is Buddha. How vast, how magnanimous, how clean it is. At that time, we therefore deeply take refuge in this vast and open space, so called Buddha. Then respect it and practice it in our everyday life. We cannot help expressing our gratitude for this Buddha's compassion of the whole universe, so-called Akasha. Universe is really compassionate to all sentient beings to support whoever you are. So, finally, we really deeply respect this Buddha and bow practically to him. This practice, respecting Buddha and bowing to the Buddha is very important for us because it is the mainspring of our energy for living in this world, whatever occupation you follow. Wherever you may be, as an artist, as a sportsman, as a writer, as a housewife, or whatever you do, I think without this, respecting Buddha, bowing to the Buddha, you cannot realize mainspring of energy for living. Without having this mainspring of energy for living, it's very difficult for us to complete or accomplish one thing. Good example is mastering language. Tomoe teaches in a Japanese language at the Burlitz school. She mentions today the appreciating student and admire the student who is 50 years old, studying Japanese, without any textbook, just through the conversations. This is a Burlitz technique. Can't you know how difficult it is? And 50 years old, man or woman, whoever, anyway, it's very difficult to master one language. But he is never absent. Every day comes. But his language is not going well. But he comes. From where that mainspring of energy for living, for learning and language comes. Do you understand this one? Of course, he is a businessman. Why the company tried to send him to Japan to run the business? Because his language is not good. Why his company choose him? Do you understand? It is not a matter of being good at the language, for mastering language or not. But it depends on your, how deeply you have a mainspring of energy for living. Okay. As a businessman, in the business, I think there is a small territory, so-called business. Okay. So you have to risk your, you have to really give whole energy to business. Okay. If you become writer, you have to offer your all energy to the writing. Anyway, do you understand this one? And then within this realm of offering your life completely to that business, and then you can see many beings exist. Learning the language and seeing the customers and having the the good deal and the bad deal, middle side deal, and many deals. Okay, and the human suffering and the pains, and many things coming up. But most people, it's difficult to accomplish one business because most people are completely crushed when they encounter one piece of trouble, suffering or pain, which occurs in the circle of the business. Okay. Forgetting, losing the mainspring of running the business as a whole. Okay. Do you understand? You should have a really big mainspring of energy for living, for running a business as a whole anyway. Otherwise, you cannot master a language. If you read the Dogen or any founder of religions, they have a really great mainspring of energy for living in whatever circle of world. Particularly if you want to deal with the spiritual life, okay, how huge realm of world, spiritual world it is. Can't you limit spiritual world, the occupying a certain portion of the universe? No. Spiritual life should deal with the whole universe without any limitations, no partitions. But a business, musicians, sportsmen, their own small portion of the universe, so-called business, okay? So-called art, so-called sports. So that's why it is very conspicuous. They can really offer their own life to it. So it is very easy for them to get the main spring of energy for taking care of sports, because immediately you can get the reward. Okay? And, you know, but deeply, it's very difficult to get the reward immediately. But it's very easier for you to get the reward more than the spiritual life. In the spiritual life, it's really vast. You have to deal with the really vastness of universe without anything, without any limitations. And also, how many beings exist, how many the aspects of human life arise. So, how can you get the mainspring of energy for taking care of spiritual life? So, I think you should respect and bow to Buddha. This is the first stage of spiritual practice. In other words, you should really deeply accept whole universe and respect and bow. That's something more than human speculations. In Christianity, it is called God. We put a certain name on it. In Buddhism, we put a certain name on it, so called Dharma. The way you accept and respect it and bow and deeply day by day, and then you experience that Dharma whole universe. That time, it is what you have experienced is called Buddha. Because it is not the principle of existence. It is something alive in human life. That's why it is called Buddha. Okay? So this is really every day we have to do. That's why in Buddhism we always have practice of bowing. In Christianity, we have always practice of prayer. So anyway, you must be very humble in the presence of universe and receive and accept it and respect and bow. So, first of all, you are willing. It is the mainspring of energy for living in the spiritual life is willingness of accept whole universe and respect it and bow to it. This is a mainspring of your energy. So called V-O-W. So in Shoyoroku, Book of Equanimity, number 52, there is a koan about Akasha. Zen Master asked elder monk, and the Buddha's true reality body is like Akasha. So in this case, Akasha is the true reality, the body. In other words, Buddha body of true reality. Buddha body is true reality or Akasha, vast and open space. Okay, in the 10 directions. This is Akasha. So Buddha's true body and Buddha's body of a true reality is like Akasha. It manifests form in response to beings like the moon in the water. So Akasha is a Buddha because immediately it has a certain immediate response. It can accept. The Akasha can accept immediate response from all sentient beings. Like a moon in reflecting in the water simultaneously. That's why Akasha is characterized by no hindrance, in which all sentient beings can live in peace and harmony. So, that's why it manifests form. In other words, that Akasha takes the form of being present. Okay? In response to beings, they like the moon in water. How do you explain the principle of response? And then the monk says, like us, looking in a well. Well, us, look down the well. That is immediate response. And the teacher said, you said a lot indeed, but you only said 80%. So it's not exactly perfect, but it's perfect anyway. That explanation is exactly perfect, but still something you have to say. Okay? So the monk says, what about you, teacher? Teacher says, like the well looking at the us. Do you understand? This is an immediate response. But we don't do it. We always see and somebody's and get the response. Immediately you can get the response, but you forget the others. You always see others in from you, in terms of you. Do you understand? So that is a one way. It's really one way. That's the trouble. So always you're looking at somebody's in the world from your own telescope. But you forget completely people looking at you from their own telescope too. Okay? But completely you forget. In other words, you hit somebody, immediately you should respect, you should accept the 100% reaction from your hitting. Okay? But we always forget, spiritually particularly, if you look at somebody and then trees, and then you completely forget and then trees, because you always deal with the tree and beautiful flowers in terms of your emotions and the anger, hatred, always. So completely you forget this life of trees. You forget the reality that the tree is always looking at you. So you should accept the tree, because tree look at you. So whatever emotion you have, in whatever situation you have, you should have a space, little magnanimous, vast open space in your life, where the trees, birds, who are looking at you, can participate in your life peacefully. But this is important for us. That is a practice of openness in action. Okay? Perfect. That's why the teacher says, you said a lot indeed, but you said 80%, not 100%. The 20% is the well looks at the us. So you have, then you can have the, what would you say, spiritual communion, okay? Communion between you and Buddha. Not you and your object. You face object, but if you accept others respond smoothly, you can have spiritual communion between you and something more than tree you are looking at. At that time, you can accept trees and all other beings. Because your heart, your mind is open, completely open. So-called akasha. That's why naturally. But your naked eye always looking at the trees, form of trees. But if your heart is open, exactly you can have deep communion between you and the universe. And then you really see something behind trees, inside of the trees, heart of the trees, space, open space around the trees. Then you can compose a poem. The poem coming up naturally at that time. This is a communications, very spiritual communication between you and Buddha. Through the form of trees, then this is our spiritual practice. Okay? So that's why in the end of the meal we chant this verse. Okay. So we really pray to the Buddha, and may we have this great mainspring of energy for living with all sentient beings in peace and harmony. Okay. Because we respect Buddha and accept the Buddha and bow to the Buddha from the bottom of our heart. Okay. This is a chanting of this verse. Okay, do you have a question? I think from next, I think I would like to talk verses which we use in the Soto Zen monastery. There are lots of verses, so I would like to explain each of the verses we have used in the monastery.